chapter 3, and we're going to be reading from Leviticus chapter 3. Now, my understanding is last week you began in Leviticus chapter 3, and I've been asked to sort of finish it up. So we're going to read the passage in chapter 3 of Leviticus, beginning in verse 1 down to verse 17. That's the entire chapter. And we're also going to be reading about the peace offering, not just here, but also in other parts of the Word of God, and trying to make sense as to what the peace offering was and what kind of significance it has for us today. As usual, I don't know what happens when other people are here, but when I'm here, if you want to interrupt me or say something or have a question or a comment, please feel free to do that while we talk. We want to try to make sense of what the peace offering is and how it can be applicable for us today. Chapter 3 of Leviticus, beginning in verse 1. Here we read, "When his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers it of the Lord, of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice which is on the wood that is on the fire as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. It is an offering as a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord. To the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the meeting. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord, its fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidney he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on its head, kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar. Then he shall offer from it his offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidney he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout all your generations. In all your dwellings you shall eat neither fat nor blood." Chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7 and verse, beginning with verse 11. And we'll read down to, we'll see how far we go in here. Verse 11 of chapter 7. "This is the law, the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil." Now, I'm going to stop the reading there. There's a lot more to read on this. I just want to point out in chapter 3, as well as in chapter 7, and in chapter 9, beginning in verse 5 to verse 8, we read about the peace offering. So what is the peace offering, first of all? Well, in chapter 3, there are basically three paragraphs, and all three paragraphs are very similar. First, there's the peace offering if you offer a cattle to the Lord, and then it goes into the details, if it's a cattle, a cow, what you're supposed to do with that offering. And you can also offer a sheep, or you can offer a goat. And so the three paragraphs, the first paragraph talks about the cow, and the second paragraph talks about the sheep, and the third paragraph, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 3, talks about the goat. So if you're going to offer a peace offering, you can use one of these three animals. No birds are talked about, just one of these three animals for the sacrifice. And then at the end of the chapter 3, we have a little bit of an explanation as to why the fat is to be burned rather than eaten. So that's basically the peace offering. Now the ceremony happens something like this. The worshiper would come and say, I want to offer a peace offering, and he would come with his animal, either a cow or a sheep or a goat, and he would lay his hand on the head of the animal, and that would signify identifying himself with this animal. That is, this animal was going to be sacrificed in his place, or it was to transfer guilt onto the animal. So I'm coming because of a sin or a vow or something, and I'm placing my head on the animal and transferring the guilt there. So the animal is going to be the sacrifice and represent the person, the worshiper who is bringing it. And at this point, after the worshiper puts his hand upon the animal, the worshiper probably explained why he was bringing this sacrifice. Now, this is different than all the other sacrifices. The burnt offering had a specific purpose. It was all burnt. It was all for the Lord. It was all dedicated. There was a reason to do it, and it was done in the morning, and it was done in the evening. This was the requirement. But the peace offering was an optional offering. There was only one time when it was required, and that was on the celebration of the day of Pentecost, or at Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. That would be the one and only time it was required. All the other times, it was an optional sacrifice. The worshiper can choose to bring it if he wants, and if he doesn't want to, he does not have to bring this peace offering. So if the worshiper came to offer a peace offering, he would explain why he was offering this peace offering. And the Word of God indicates that there is one of three reasons why the worshiper would come. One would be for a confession of sin, or a thanksgiving offering. I want to thank the Lord for something that he has done in my life. The second reason is as a free will offering. Just because I love the Lord, I freely want to give an offering to him, and for no other reason. And the third is to fulfill a vow. So if the worshiper had paid a vow, at the end of that time, he would come to say, I have done what I vowed to do, and now I'm offering a peace offering in fulfillment of that vow. So these are the three reasons why there would be a peace offering. And then, after the worshiper came to explain why he was bringing a peace offering, the worshiper would then kill the animal right in front of the priest, and the blood that was spilt, the priest would take and sprinkle it upon the altar. And then the priest would burn specific parts of the animal, that is the fat and the liver and the kidneys. Now, I wish I had pictures to show you, but I don't have pictures to show you. Maybe you're happy about that. But anyway, this was a unique offering because the entire animal was not being burned, but only specific parts of it would be offered up to the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, we are told, even in the last verse of chapter 3, that the Israelites were not to eat blood, and they were not to be eating the fat of an animal. And you can read that also in chapter 7, in verses 22 and 27. It's repeated that blood was off limits. You could not have blood with your meal. And also fat was off limits. You could not have fat with your meal. Now, the reason why blood was off limits is explained in the Word of God, and that is because it was the price of atonement. And because it was the price of atonement, blood was off limits. What's interesting, and hopefully we will have time later to get into this, but we just celebrated the Lord's Supper, did we not? And we just took the cup, which is a symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus, and we are told to drink it. But in the Old Testament, blood was off limits because it was the price of atonement. The Word of God does not necessarily tell us why fat is off limits, but there are commentators that have taken a fairly educated guess, and that would be because the fat was the best part of the animal. You can read in Genesis chapter 45, for example, in the story of David. We read these words in Genesis 45, verse 18. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. And so there seems to be some indications from other verses as well that when the Word of God talks about fat, it's talking about the best. You are to have the best of the land of Egypt. That would be in the story of Joseph. And so some have guessed that fat was the best part, and the best part of the animal should therefore go to God and not go to man. So in giving the best, the worshiper was giving the best. It was a representation. The worshiper was giving the best part of his life. Now the peace offering, as I've mentioned already, was optional. And already I've mentioned that it was done either to give a thanksgiving offering or a confession or a free will offering or to fulfill a vow. In chapters 1 and in chapters 2, you have the meal offering and the burnt offering. And those were offerings that came in the morning and every evening. There would be a sacrifice of the burnt and the meal offering, but the peace offering, that was not true. And what was different about the peace offering is not only did some of it go to God, but some of it went to the priests as well, and also to the people. So we read in chapter 7, let's turn to chapter 7, and verse 28. Chapter 7 and verse 28, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Also the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offering. We'll stop the reading there. From this passage we learn that the animal was sacrificed on the altar. There was some parts of the animal, the fat, the kidney, the liver, that was burned and given to God. And then there was some parts, the breast and the right thigh, which was given to the priest to eat. So they would enjoy this offering, this sacrifice as well. And not only that, but the ceremony concluded with the worshiper and his friends or family joining in the meal to eat up the rest of the meat. The rest of the animal was eaten by the worshiper. So now you can picture it being something like this. The peace offering was a sacrifice, an offering. It was optional. You had the choice. You can bring it or not. You bring it because you want to give thanks to God. You want to fulfill a vow. You want to have a free will offering. And so you come for this purpose. The animal is slain. Parts of it is given to God. Parts of it is given to the priest. And parts of it is given to you. And you sit down and you enjoy the meal. So that's what made this unique. The people of God were able to enjoy a meal with God. It is a fellowship meal, and it was to be shared with others, and it speaks of our fellowship with God. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 7. You shall offer peace offerings and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. And then in chapter 12 of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 7. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your household, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. So this was a meal that you enjoyed right there with the priest and also before the Lord. So at this point, I want to ask if there's any questions about the fat and the kidneys, if it's explained well enough. Does anyone have any comments about the fat or the kidneys or the liver? Okay, as I already mentioned, most likely it was representing the best part of the animal, and so you would want to offer the best to the Lord. Isn't that what we want to do? When we come to worship the Lord on Sunday morning in our breaking of bread, we want to offer Him our best. Not the leftovers, not something that is stale, but the best. And we read in Romans chapters 12 and verse 1 and 2, Paul tells us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. In other words, when we come to worship the Lord, we ought to bring Him the best part of ourselves. Well, our life, we need to bring Him everything. But sometimes people can bring themselves and yet reserve the deepest emotional part of themselves within and say, I will come and offer my time, I will come and offer my voice, but the emotions, the thing that makes me, me, I'm going to keep for myself. Well, God doesn't want that. God wants the best of you. God wants you. And He wants to enjoy the sacrifice that you bring. That is the sacrifice of your life, the sacrifice that you can offer to Him. I want to return right now to the meal. The meal was for the people, the most popular part of the ceremony. It was a meal in which God's presence was recognized as specially near, and this made it particularly a joyful occasion because the people could eat before the Lord and enjoy Him in a special way. Now, eating meat in ancient Israel was a luxury. All the meat that the children of Israel ate came from animals that were given by the worshiper to God. And now it was partly given back to the worshiper by God so that he could enjoy that meat. And it symbolizes the way that God gave back to the worshiper his life to go on enjoying. In other words, when we come, a sacrifice is, you know, there's an animal that's slain, but it's you that actually ought to be slain. Here this animal was taking your place. Parts of the animal would go to God, but part of the animal God gave back to the people to enjoy. And so it's the same with us. God demands our life, our all, everything. You know, we sometimes sing those songs about demands my heart, my life, my all. Isn't He worth the sacrifice? Isn't He worth your life? And yet, for many people, we hold back part of our life. We don't want to give God everything. We're afraid to do so. Well, in the peace offering, we have an example of here an animal of meat was given to the Lord, and the Lord enjoyed it, but He was also giving it back to the worshiper and saying, here, you can enjoy it now too. And the Lord does the same with us today. He wants us to give Him our lives, and He wants to enjoy our life. He wants everything from us. But at the same time, He gives a part of us back so that we can enjoy life and enjoy the Lord as well. The worshiper perhaps had made a vow to keep the covenant law or to do something more specific, and now he comes to offer a peace offering to give it back to the Lord. You remember the story of Samuel? We're going to be turning to the book of 1 Samuel in a moment. But Hannah prayed for a child, and Hannah vowed a vow, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. And God gave her a child. And when the time came, she brought the child back to the temple and back to Eli and said, I made a vow, and now I'm fulfilling that vow, and I'm giving the child back to the Lord. So on that occasion, there would be a peace offering. And so an animal would be killed, and parts of it would be burned, and parts of it would be for the priest, and then Hannah and the family could enjoy the rest of it. It was a meal given before the Lord that all could enjoy. Let's turn to chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, and we're going to see this meal in practice. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, and verse 12. And they answered them and said, yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city, because there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. Now this is at the time when Saul was chosen to be king, and Samuel had gone to a specific place to make a sacrifice. This would be a peace offering. Let's read verse 14 of chapter 9. So they went up to the city, and as they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out towards them on his way to the high place. Verse 19, Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer, I am the prophet. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. Verse 22. Now Samuel took Saul and his servants and brought them into the hall and had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, for of which I said to you, set it apart. So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back, it was set apart for you. Eat, for until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. And when they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. So here you see an example of the meal, the peace offering being presented. And then there was a group of people that would share and enjoy part of the meal that was offered to the Lord, and part would be given to the people. So what does this all tell us? It tells us, first of all, that God wants to enjoy a fellowship with you. And we want to certainly enjoy fellowship with God. Isn't it amazing that we can do that? Isn't it amazing that we can come into His presence and enjoy fellowship with God? I'm reminded of a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe it's verse 9. It's really an amazing verse. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have been called to have fellowship with Christ. We have been called to have fellowship with God. That's an amazing thing. And we can sit down at a meal and enjoy Him, and He can enjoy us. How did that happen this morning? As we came to break bread, and as we came to enjoy the Lord, did we enjoy Him? And it's not just a time, worship is not just a time for us to enjoy Him. Actually, worship is a time where He will be happy with what He hears, that He will receive enjoyment from our love, our thanksgiving, our worship as it flows from our hearts. Now, sometimes, I suppose, he doesn't enjoy what we worship, what we offer. Sometimes, instead of worshiping the Lord, we might be appealing to the people. You say, I want to share something to the for the people so that they can see what I know of the Scriptures or something like that. And there's actually no worship going to the Lord. That's a possibility. We are to enjoy one another, but we come to worship the Lord. And he wants to enjoy our worship. And as we do that, he gives us a part back for our own enjoyment. And those are the thoughts of our brothers as they share from God's word and as they pray. And we are reminded of all the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. It's a time of fellowship, real fellowship. Sometimes in our generation, we get the idea that worship is to be something exciting, something dynamic, something that involves no silence, something that involves an ongoing process, something that will make people happy. And we get this idea at times, and we forget that when we come before the Lord, we are to pour out our heart, a heart of thanksgiving for what he has done for us, a heart of love, a free will offering. What's that? Well, there's no reason except to just simply say, I love you, Lord, for who you are. Not because of what you've done for me, but simply because of who you are. And I freely want to give my time. I freely want to give my voice. I freely want to expose my heart to tell you how much I love you for who you are. A free will offering given to the Lord. We can enjoy the Lord in this manner. So the peace offering, I believe, is all about this. Enjoying the fellowship with the Lord and with his people. Now, 1 Samuel tells us a little more. If you remember the story of Eli in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, Eli had sons, right? And Eli's sons were not very godly people. They were wicked people. And I didn't look up the verse ahead of time. It's a well-known verse which talks about the sons of Eli when the peace offering or the burnt offering or any offering was offered to the Lord, especially though now I'm focused on the peace offering, the sons of Eli would take anything they wanted. And because of that, they caused people to hate, the word is abhor, to hate to come and worship the Lord. Now, you know, that's possible to happen today. It's possible to come to break bread, to come to the special meeting that we have designed or that the Lord has actually instituted in the Word of God, a time when we can come and remember him. We do it in an hour service. The Bible doesn't tell you to do it in an hour service, nor does it tell you to start at 9 o'clock, although there are people today that tell you that that's what the Word of God says. Okay? And people get off track, and they start introducing traditions. Instead of the whole purpose is for us to come to remember the Lord in his death until he come again. And we come before him. And what if we come week after week not prepared to offer anything to the Lord? Well, you know what is taught here at Martinez Bible Chapel, and what the Word of God teaches is what we believe is scriptural, and that is that men are to be audible and stand up and offer audibly to the Lord, and that is a public thing that they are to do, and you represent the entire meeting as you do that, and you contribute to the worship of the saints as you get up to worship. And by the way, there's no requirement on age limit. That is, you don't have to be, 18 years old before you can start to stand up as a man and participate in the wonderful meal that the Lord has invited us to come to. You can be 8 years old. You can be 99 years old. The Lord wants to hear your voice if you are a male. And then the women are to be silent in that meeting. But that doesn't mean the woman gets out of worshiping the Lord. That doesn't mean the woman is to come unprepared to worship the Lord. I think sometimes we get those viewpoints. We are all to come to offer something to the Lord. Some will do it silently. Some will do it audibly. But we all come so that there is a sweet smell, a sweet aroma that arises to the Lord that He can enjoy and we can enjoy as well. And if we come prepared, then the worship meeting is sweet. There are times when something might be said or read from the Word of God that leaves us so awestruck and in wonder that half the meeting can be completely silent. Well, that might be the way it is. David sat before the Lord in complete wonder as to what God had told David about his future. And so worship does not need to constantly be one thing happening after another, but it's a heart that is poured out before the Lord, and we can do that week after week here at Martinez Bible Chapel. But we might come with stale worship. That is from leftovers from a couple of weeks ago. Unprepared to come with something fresh to offer to the Lord. And therefore, it spoils a bit the worship meeting. Well, we might not see anything spoiled in our actual worship meeting. But remember, we're worshiping the Lord. And the worship is going up before the Lord, and He sees what many of us cannot see. He sees the collective worship of His people. We are to worship the Lord. And then there are others who, because of various ways of doing things, like Eli's sons, might cause people to not enjoy coming to worship the Lord. Now, I've been on a forum this past week. I won't tell you which one, where this was actually discussed to one length or another. And there are people that don't enjoy coming to worship the Lord and to break bread. So it is possible, because of our dullness or because of our not being prepared or because we're not fulfilling our priestly duties, that we can cause other people to just simply say, I don't really want to come into the presence of the Lord. And that's sad. Because the Lord's Supper is a time when we are invited by the Lord. He is the host. And He gives us bread and He gives us wine as symbols. And we enjoy fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we enjoy the Lord as well. And we miss a whole lot of that when we come unprepared. The peace offering was a meal where everyone can enjoy it, enjoying the presence of the Lord, and He enjoying the presence of His people. An amazing thing. Now, we're very short on time right now. I'm going to mention one other thing before I stop, and if anyone has any comments, that's fine. And that is in chapter 7 of Leviticus, and verse 13, and also verse 20. In Leviticus chapter 7, when the peace offering is mentioned once again, we are told about an offering with leavened bread. That's chapter 7 and verse 13. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So this involved not just the animal, it also involved leavened bread. And then in verse 20, it also says, the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. So very quickly, what's the significance of the leavened bread and being clean or unclean? Well, first of all, it might be a little bit of a surprise that God says that at this offering you can offer leavened bread. You would think it would be unleavened bread because leaven kind of, you know, spoils sometimes. Some people would say the whole lump. It would grow and things of that nature. But God said, bring leavened bread. Why? Well, again, we're out of time. The significance is this. When we come to worship the Lord, well, we're just sinners saved by grace, right? There's sin in us. There always will be while we are on this side of eternity. How can we come into the presence of a holy God when there is sin in us? Well, the sacrifice takes care of that. The blood is sprinkled on the altar. And God sees that blood and covers the sin. And so he says, you come and you worship the Lord. That's the significance of the leavened bread. But then in verse 20, it says, when you come, make sure you're clean. Don't be unclean. If you're unclean, you'll be cut off from among your people. What's the significance of that? Well, there is sin in us, but there's also the practice of sin, isn't there? We sin against God, and sin ruins our fellowship with God, and we've been called to have a fellowship meal with God. How can we enjoy fellowship if there's sin one with another among us, or if we have sinned against God? And so in 1 John 1:9, we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we come to the breaking of bread service, we are to come recognizing, first of all, that we are unworthy to be here. That's sin in us. And yet we see the cup, a covenant, symbol of a covenant, the blood that was spilled to take away our sin. God says, come. But then there's the practice of sin. As we go through the week, we sin against God, and we might come with unconfessed sin in our lives. And the Holy Spirit nudges us so that we feel guilty. And it ruins our fellowship with Christ. It doesn't ruin our relationship with God. The question of sin was paid for on the cross. But it can ruin the fellowship that we have with Christ. And so we are to confess our sins. And when we come to the Lord's table, we are to come with the right attitude and with the right heart. We are to come acknowledging our sin and asking God to forgive us. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when I stare at that cup, what do I remember? A covenant that God has made with you and with me. A covenant that says that he will complete the work that he began in me on the day that he saved me. A covenant that says he will write his law in my heart and inscribe it upon my mind. And I will one day no longer sin. So I come to confess it so that I can enjoy fellowship with God. Any comments or questions on the peace offering? Sorry, I didn't leave much time for that. I don't think there would have been much comments anyway. Let's just give thanks. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are thankful for the deep things that we can learn in the Scriptures. We pray that the Holy Spirit will help us remember what can be important for us in our generation today. We pray, Lord, that when we worship you, it would be a sweet-smelling savor, a sweet aroma that goes up to you, that you can enjoy and appreciate, and that we can appreciate along with you. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have to fellowship with you, not just collectively, but individually, day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.